Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Great to be with you again today. Thank you for watching over the internet, or however you're watching. You know, you could be listening on the radio, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're listening, and you that are here, God bless you. We're so glad you're here. It is Healing School, and it's an exciting year. Or had you not noticed? Things are going kind of nuts, but it's good. It's all good in Christ. And so we had Healing School today. And last week we spoke about what sickness is. We asked the question, what is sickness? And we found out what God thinks of sickness and how he views it. He even calls it an evil disease, etc. And we know it comes from the enemy and not from God. We went through all of that. And we spoke about what F.F. Bosworth said. He was a great man of God. He was involved in the healing revival back in the day. And he said these words. He said, faith begins where the will of God is known. And that's so true. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's why God says in 1 John 5:14, he says, this is a confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if he hears us, we know we have the petitions we have desired of him. So the will of God is an important and vital part that has to be part of our life. Knowing the will of God is knowing the word of God. I know the will of God by knowing the word of God, because it is God's first will and testament, and it's his last will and testament, Old Testament, New Testament. So we know the will of God by the word of God. So I know God's will about my life concerning healing. And so we looked at that last week, and we found out a few things that obviously the sickness and disease and pandemics and all kinds of stuff like that are part of the curse. And we found out in Galatians 3:13 that we've been redeemed by Christ from the curse. So I don't have to partake of whatever's in the curse, because I'm a child of God. I'm in covenant with God, and he protects me from the curse. When I understand his will, I know his will, and I apply all he says to do about his will. And then I can walk in perfect health. And so we're going to look at something else today, and that is, know Jesus as your healer. You need to know Jesus as your healer. So let's just go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you today. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you all the glory. And we lift up the mighty, powerful, precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He is our Savior. He is our healer. He forgives and he loves us. And you forgive and you love us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us, helping us, strengthening us, guiding us, and directing us in all truth and righteousness. We give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, and we thank you. We thank you for not leaving us as orphans, just in a world that had no end but destruction. But we're out of that system now. We're in the kingdom of heaven, and we give you the praise. Amen. Amen. Go with me to Exodus 15. We're going to look at Exodus 15. Now, we need to know Jesus as our healer. A lot of people know Jesus as somebody else's healer, but not their own healer. But Exodus 15, and we're looking at verse 26. This is when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. God was taking them out of Egypt through the wilderness. And he said these words to them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God. How many of you know Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That's your God. Hopefully that's the God you're serving. God the Father. God the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob needs to be your God. So he says, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God. Now you've got to make sure it's the right God, because there is only one God. He said in Isaiah 45:22. Turn to me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is no other. So he says, if you listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, if you do what is right according to what God calls right, and you obey his commandments, you keep his decrees, he says, then I will not have you suffer any of the diseases that the Egyptians had, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. I need you to say that. Say, I am the Lord who heals you. Now you've got to say, God is my healer. Say that at home over here. Say, God is my healer. You see, when Moses heard those words, he heard God in essence saying, I am Yahweh. I'm Yahweh Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer. Jehovah Rapha. That means the Lord, your healer. That's what Moses heard. I am your healer. I am your healer. Now you might say, well, he said, I won't allow you to suffer any of the diseases that he sent on the Egyptians, for I'm the Lord, your healer, the God who heals you. Well, God did what he had to do to get his children out of bondage and slavery in Egypt. They were the chosen race. And so he did what he had to do to get them freed up from slavery, bondage, and what they were in. Because he said, I've heard the cries of my people. And they were crying out to him under the stress and the pressure of being in slavery. And God came and he delivered them. Now, the word, I am the Lord who heals you, the word heals is Strong's number 7495, which is Rapha. And it means to heal or healer or physician. God is Jehovah Rapha. He heals, he's the healer, he is the physician. And you've got to accept that in your life and know that in your life. You see, it's not what is true, but what you think is true that determines your reality. It's not what is true. I mean, there are people, listen, it's true that Jesus came, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. So the truth is, he says in the next verse, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. The truth is, he sent Jesus to save people in the world. Now, that's true. I believe it's true. You believe it's true. We've received the salvation from God. We believe it's true and we acted out on the truth. But there are people who don't believe it's true. They don't believe it's true. And what they think is true is that there's other ways, maybe there's nothing afterwards. And so that can be detrimental because that's going to determine the reality. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. So as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if he doesn't believe the truth, but he believes a lie thinking it is the truth, that will determine what he does and how he ends up. Amen. So it's not really what is true, but what you think is true. Your fundamental beliefs that determines your reality. Many people don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe the truth. And so what they're believing is going to determine where they go, how they live, what happens to them. Amen. Matthew 8, verse 5. Go with me to Matthew 8, 5. I'm reading out of the Voice translation. And it says here, eventually Jesus came to the little town of Capernaum. In Capernaum, a military officer came to him and asked him for help. The officer said in verse 6, Lord, I have a servant who is lying at home in agony, paralyzed. So this happened to be a Roman centurion, not even of the tribe of the Israelites, not in covenant. He comes to God and he says, I have a servant who's lying at home in agony, paralyzed. Now, you think about this. It was a servant, it wasn't a son. This man loved and cared for someone else, so much so that he went and sought out Jesus, and he called him Lord, which is master. He actually acknowledged him as being Lord, which is huge. And he says, I've got a servant lying at home in agony. It's not me who needs something. It's someone else. That's why it's so important. God says, love your neighbors as you love yourself. Remember when the man was lying on the side of the road and you had all of the Sanhedrin and the high priests and all those big deals walked on the other side of the road because they didn't want to be involved in that, whatever was going on. He had been robbed and left for dead. And then along came a good Samaritan. That good Samaritan came and he helped the man. He's been mentioned in the Bible as having done something good. In actual fact, he put the man on his transport, whatever it was, a horse or a mule. He rode him into a village, found someone to take care of him, and gave the man 2 coins and said, this is to keep him and take care of him, and I will come back again and check on him and see how he's doing. Do you all know the story? That could be likened to Jesus Christ coming to the earth and found us. Religion couldn't help us. Religion walked past us. Religion got us into trouble, and religion walked past us. The Good Samaritan represents Jesus. He came, he took oil, if you remember, and he put it in the wounds. Oil is a sign of the Holy Spirit, one of the things of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he then takes the man, he gives him the 2 coins, he gives the coins to the innkeeper who's taking care of him, and says, I'll be back. Those 2 coins could represent 2,000 years, plus round, plus minus. I'll be back to check on him. This could be representing Jesus as taking care of us, a lost and dying world that had no hope, were lying robbed, beat up, left for dead on the side of the road by the devil. Religion couldn't do it. Religion caused more problems. Religion had nothing to do, they walked away from. But Jesus himself came and he took care of the whole situation by offering himself up as a sacrifice. And then he said, you take care of them. That's the Holy Spirit taking care of us. I will be back for them. Does that ring in your spirit? I will be back for them. I'm coming back after, I think those 2 coins represented the 2,000 roundabout years. The oil represented the Holy Spirit taking care of the children of God today. He's leading God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. So God comes, he sees a lost and dying world, he does what he needs to do to save her, he sheds his blood, he then leaves, he leaves the Holy Spirit. He says, when I go, I will leave the Holy Spirit, I will send him. He will be the comforter. He will come and he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit is on the earth. Jesus is with the Father. He said, I'm coming again, but I'm leaving him in good hands in the Holy Spirit's care. Amen. And so that is a picture of salvation and the return of our Messiah, Jesus. And I can tell you something right now. Standing here today, the 20th of August, 2020, I can tell you that the time of Jesus' return is so close that I really suggest we take good stock of our lives, locate what's going on in your life, and make sure that your lamps are full of oil.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerald Currie of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie. We trust that our daily broadcast is a blessing in your life. We strive to bring you a word that will strengthen your faith and improve your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you would like to sow a tax-deductible gift into this ministry, please go to traditionworshipcenter.com and click on the donate or give button and follow the prompts. Thank you for your continued support and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have